Started the service with this verse from Luke 18, and this is kind of the theme for what we're thinking about this morning. Therefore, take heed how you hear, take heed how you listen. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken from him. All right. Not sure what economists would think of that, but that's what the scripture teaches. I was thinking, trying to do a short series here, as we've had a few of the young people join with us, and I think it's also helpful for all of us to think about what we're doing when we gather together for worship. Not last week, I think, but the week before, we thought about the church, gathering together as a church. Very often, I really want to encourage you to not think of church as just being 1 hour on a Sunday morning. Okay, I know that's often how people think of church, but church—that's really not what the Bible means when it talks about church, is it? Church is the fellowship of believing people. That's the church, right? So church isn't just a meeting. I know what we mean when we refer to it that way. But you can't only think of it that way. You can't think of church as a building. You don't think of it as one particular meeting. Church is the fellowship of believing people. So church doesn't just happen at 10:30 on a Sunday morning. In fact, a lot more church happens after the service than during the service. And so you really don't want to just think of church as being, well, I went to church this week, because church is really what we do together as a group of people. Congregation is what the word church means, people who have been called out to love the Lord Jesus. So we looked at that, and yet we do come together for worship, and so I want to think a little bit about what we're doing when we come together for worship. And my inclination was, in fact, I forgot to change the title, because early in the week I thought, oh, I'm going to preach about worship and talk about why do we have preaching, okay? And I was going to approach it from that viewpoint. But somehow during the course of the week, the Lord kind of reorientated me. And we're going to instead think about not why we have preaching, but how we listen to preaching. How do we listen to preaching? Take heed how you hear. So let me just raise this question with you. How is listening to preaching different from watching a video? And you might say, well, what if I'm watching a video of preaching? Okay, set that idea aside. Just assume any other kind of video, right? Maybe a drama or some kind of sport or music or a documentary or news, right? Anything else like that you might be watching. How is preaching different from that? Right? You might say, well, it depends on who's preaching, whether or not it's interesting, things like that. No, I want to be more fundamental than that, right? The difference between preaching and what you might watch on a video or on television. Well, when it comes to preaching, it's much more of a life and death issue. The stakes tend to be much higher, don't they? There are matters that we talk about that, you know, like when we've been looking at 1 Corinthians, there are these kind of what we might see as somewhat minor issues, but questions that believers have. But very often, this is life and death questions that we're looking at. This is the way that leads to life. This is the way that leads to death. Jesus talked about it that way, didn't he? He said, there's a broad way and there's a narrow way. And you're choosing one way or the other. So the stakes when it comes to listening to preaching are much higher than, you know, than if you're just watching a video. I imagine that, you know, the first thing I thought of was, well, you know, some of the problems that we have when it comes to listening to preaching is we tend to be very distracted. We live in a very distracted age. And, You know, thankfully, many of our parents are pretty careful about the media intake that our young people have. But even us adults, we have a certain amount of media intake, or, you know, where there's just constant distraction. And it's almost set up to be that way, to distract you from the concentrated ability to think. That this is another problem, so that you have a harder time even listening to sermons. Well, that's on one side. So the passage that I had us read is from Matthew 16. And you remember, it's a little bit confusing. Not confusing, but it's a little bit distracting, because part of the story is about the disciples and their concern because they don't have bread. And then Jesus says, ooh, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they think, ah, he said it because we forgot to bring bread. And so there's a whole point about this, the disciples needing to, you know, they have little faith and they forget that, yes, God can provide, just like he did, you know, with the 5,000, with the 4,000, he provided abundance. So God can provide that. And so that, you know, they are thick in their, you know, in their heads, their understanding. But remember, what was his message about? His message was about the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That was the lesson he was trying to teach them. What is the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Well, that was what we had in the first few verses there. They came and they demanded a what? A sign from heaven. What they wanted was, They came with their skepticism and they said, Jesus, prove to us that you are from God. Show us a sign, right? And essentially, you hear me say this a lot, but I think I feel like I say it a lot, and we'll be the judge, right? Like you perform for us and we'll decide whether or not it's a good enough performance and whether or not we'll acknowledge you. You don't come to God that way, right? That is not the approach that you take to the God who created all things and made you. Shall the clay pot say to the potter, why have you made me thus? Right? The scripture uses that kind of illustration. No, we come in a certain way before God. We have this responsibility. So this is these Pharisees and Sadducees, and the leaven of them is this kind of skepticism that says, tells God, prove it to us, as if God hasn't already set in place enough evidence to convince you that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. God has been gracious in granting that to you. The problem is that we have this skepticism in our hearts. So here's the challenge for us this morning. Listening requires care and perception, right? The Lord rebuked his disciples for misinterpreting his warning. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? Because, you know, they weren't paying careful attention. They were easily distracted. They thought bread, right? And so then they were worried about bread. And you and I can have the same problem, can't we? You know, maybe there was something you forgot, and I say something in the sermon, and you think, oh, it's because I forgot to do this thing. Pastor's really singling me out in the sermon, and maybe I had no clue, you know, about that thing, but. But our minds get distracted like that, and we miss the whole message of the word to us. Same thing happened to the disciples, okay? It doesn't just happen to you and me. It happened to them too. Take care how you listen, and recognize that you're also going to need perception. So the problem that we have, right, is not only that we're not being careful when we listen. The problem that we also have is that we are bent. we have this bent character, this flesh that refuses to be shaped by God's word. Your flesh will not acknowledge the law of God. No, it cannot. Right? And all of us have this flesh, this indwelling sin that we need to put to death, that we really need to shun and turn from. Walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Right? So there are these encouragements that we have from the Scripture that we all have this struggle with our flesh. And the big trouble that we have is if something's raised and you say, oh, I don't have a problem with that. Okay, I'll come to that in a moment here. Okay, so how do we listen to sermons? I just have two brief points that I think I can put to us that are easy for you to put in your pocket, take home, and think about. Number one, when you listen to a sermon, expect God to speak. Expect God to speak. How would you listen differently if when you came to listen to a sermon, you were expecting God to speak to you in that sermon? Would you listen any differently than you generally listen? Three things under this. Number one, pay attention. God is the ultimate authority. Right. One of the things that it means you would do and I would do if we're expecting God to speak, we would pay close attention. Hebrews 2 says it this way. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Right. So that argument there in Hebrews is if what was spoken to the people by angels had consequence, what will we do if we listen to something that was spoken by the Son? How should we listen to that? We must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Or take the advice from Proverbs 4. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. Right, really encouraging you. You ever have this where your parents give you a list of things you need to do, right? Or someone rings you and they say they need something from you, and you're half listening because something else is happening in the room, and you have a hard time hearing. Pay attention. Give careful attention to what God is saying. Incline your ear. Right? Say, hold on. Let me hear that clearly now. Pay attention. God is the ultimate authority, so he deserves our attention. Secondly, listen seriously. God is our holy creator. God is our holy creator. So again, from Hebrews 12, verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. They were talking about when God came to Sinai and the Ten Commandments came. Remember that God spoke to them from the mountain and the whole mountain shook and there was fire. And it was terrifying for those people. And a lot of people say, well, you know, that was the God of the Old Testament. God of the New Testament, you know, is much more cuddly and kind. It's really not the viewpoint of the author of Hebrews. Listen again to what he says. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. Right, so there's this very solemn warning. Listen seriously. God is our holy creator. And then thirdly, listen humbly. We need to avoid kind of a defensive or skeptical or challenging, right, listening in a challenging manner. We will not hear if we think we already know this, or if we already think this way. Let the one who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Or Jesus says this to Peter. You know, Peter says, Lord, I will follow you to the death. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, all of us need to take warning from that. That yeah, we may feel in certain conditions that we're pretty confident and we know our way around, but the Lord knows our weakness. Therefore, we want to take heed and listen humbly, not be sitting here and saying, oh, I already know all this, right? This is old hat to me. I've heard this 100 times. Listen humbly. All right, I'm going to sum this up now, come back to this kind of a question. When is the voice of the preacher the voice of God? You ever thought of it that way? When is the voice of the preacher the voice of God? You might say, well, what? when is the voice of the preacher the voice of God? Well, listen to what some of the passages say. It's been 2 months now, but 1 Peter 4:11 says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone speaks, right, this is talking about ministry within the assembly. If anyone speaks, let him speak as of the oracles of God. Or even more clearly than that, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. When is the voice of the preacher the voice of God? When the preacher is faithfully teaching the Bible. This is why the Bereans are encouraged. Because they seek out those things to see if they're so, right? It doesn't mean that you just say, well, I guess the preacher's preaching, that's the voice of God. No, it has to match with what the scripture teaches. You have a certain responsibility in this too. You examine what God says in his word. Does that line up with what the preacher's saying? If it is, you really need to say, is that what God wanted me to hear this morning? Have you ever had this where you end up going to, we have a couple of folks visiting with us here this morning. You have this if you go on holiday, you visit a church, or you find yourself in a meeting. And maybe you hadn't been planning on going to that meeting. Maybe at the last minute somebody said, oh, there's a special meeting going on tonight. Would you like to come with me? And you go ahead. You go along. You say, oh, yeah, that sounds nice. This is a nice friend. It's a Christian meeting. I like to hear what this person says. And you listen. And all of a sudden, it's like something really relevant to your life and some decision that you're making is addressed in that. And you're like, wow. God was speaking to me in that meeting. Can you just wonder for a little bit if every time the Word of God is open to you, God is trying to speak to you, but you're distracted from it, or you're not willing to listen. You're not being, okay, I'm speaking from experience. I'm not being humble to listen to what God says to me. Would you just ponder if that's a possibility? If any time you come and the Word of God is open, there's something that's going to challenge you and your thinking, and it's God speaking to you. When is the voice of the preacher the voice of God? I would say, not because the preacher is preaching ex cathedra, okay? This is what the Romanists believe, that He's in the position of authority, and he's speaking that way. Not just because the minister is ordained and therefore what he's speaking is the word of God, not because he's bold or forthright in what he's saying. No, the preacher's preaching, what you will hear the voice of God when he's preaching is faithful to what the Bible says. That's when he's preaching, as it were, the word of God. So number one was what? What was number one? What was the first thing we're supposed to listen to? Expect God to speak. When you come and listen to a sermon, expect God to speak. Could I say this day by day, when you open God's word, you can expect God to speak to you. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. You can pray a prayer like that every day. That God is speaking, it's just whether or not you're perceiving it, whether or not you're receiving it. Number two, admit God knows better than you. Okay, this probably flows a little bit from what we've already said, but let's just make it plain. Number two, admit that God knows better than you. Why do we resist bowing before the teaching of God? One author says, or he says it this way again, why don't we come humbly to the preaching of God's word? All right. I thought through that question. Why don't we? Well, I think sometimes it's because we come with prejudices, right? The disciples, they had certain ways of thinking in their culture, or what expectations were. Sometimes we come with certain prejudices. We believe certain things to be reasonable and other things to be incredible. Okay? Incredible, credit means, trust. Incredible means you can't trust it. We think some things are reasonable, some things are untrustworthy, incredible, right? Not believable. And our culture shapes the way that we think things like that. I mean, you already know this because many of you believe the word of God, that the Bible is true, right? And you talk to other people around you, even family members, and they scoff at it. They think that's ridiculous, right? Well, we all still have some aspects of that shaping whenever we hear the word of God. We have certain things that we think are reasonable. Other things you read in the word of God and you say, I don't know about that. I mean, I know God's word says that, but, I don't know if that's what it means. And we do. I mean, we'll just kind of say, well, it says that, but, I don't really know how to take that. Or we come thinking that certain kinds of behavior is normal and other kinds is not. And so we can dismiss certain things that God's word commands us because we say, well, certain kinds of behavior are normal. Other kinds, we just don't see that. And we're being, again, shaped by our culture. We come thinking that what our culture tells us is what is normal. But again, that's very much just a surface issue. That's on the surface, but there's something that's much deeper, and that is actually our hearts don't always want to hear what God is actually saying to us. There's this problem of our heart. This author again will say, we are thoroughly messed up people, unable to think straight, speak right, or act as we ought. I said, that's pretty harsh. That's a pretty harsh assessment. Thoroughly messed up people, unable to think straight, speak right, or act as we ought. Doesn't James say this? Right. We've been able to control all the different animals, but nobody's been able to bridle the what? The tongue. Right? We have a hard time speaking right. What about thinking straight? Right? We don't discern always between what is right and what is wrong correctly. We don't always act as we ought. Scripture tells us why. The heart, Jeremiah 17, 9, the heart is deceitful above all and incurably sick. Incurably sick. Or Matthew 7, verse 17, a good tree brings forth good fruit. A bad tree brings forth bad fruit. Jeremiah 13, 23, can a leopard change his spots? Right? People who are accustomed to doing evil do evil. We think evil. Therefore, we need a new mind, okay? God grants us a new heart, and then he begins to renew that mind and that heart. It's called the process of sanctification. I can't explain to you why God does it that way, but that's how he does it. He grants you a new heart, but then it's a slow aspect of renewing your mind. But God does that through his word. So secondly, we've been looking at this, admit that God knows better. And the problem that we have is, right, on the surface, culturally, but the real problem is our bent inside and our flesh that we struggle with. So for instance, what kind of teachers do people generally prefer? You say, well, interesting ones. Yes, I agree. I know. But probably generally people prefer the kind of teachers who tell us what we want to hear. What do we want to hear? We tend to want to hear that we're okay and we simply just need better self-esteem, right? Your problem is that you don't think well enough of yourself. That's very much the message of the culture, that really the big problem that you have is that you just need to believe in yourself. In fact, you can save yourself if you believe in yourself. And the Bible's message is totally contrary to that. The Bible's message is you cannot save yourself. You are desperate, in need of help. You don't have a spiritual bone in your body. But God can give it to you freely in his Son. So what does Jesus say? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Right? Those are the people who are ultimately going to see God. Those are the ones who are going to have a pure heart. Those are the ones who are going to be granted righteousness that is greater than the scribes and the Pharisees, because it all comes through Christ. We recognize we're desperate and we call out to God for help. What kind of teachers do people generally prefer? We prefer the kind of teachers who scratch our itching ears. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Beware of those kinds of teachers. Why isn't faithful Bible teaching more common today? In certain circles, you do get good Bible teaching. And maybe compared to 70 years ago, Bible teaching, you can encounter it. However, in society in general, probably less so. Why is that so? If you have better access to the Bible, better study tools for the Bible, all of those things today, why isn't faithful Bible teaching more common and more accepted? Well, good Bible teaching hurts. It hurts. Like a doctor removing cancer, health-giving doctrine can be painful, but is necessary for survival. Right? Lloyd-Jones always gave this kind of illustration. Like somebody comes and they've got a problem, and the doctor can give you some painkiller, but that's like putting a sticking plaster over a broken bone. It's not going to fix the problem. And very often, the Bible's solution, they cut very deep. Right, they're going to take out the cancer, And it's going to be ultimate healing, but it's going to be painful. Number two, it offends. Not only does it hurt, but it offends. Faithful teaching will always cause offense. Matthew 11, 6, here's this godly man. And he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, are you the Messiah, or should we be looking for somebody else? Do you know who that was? It's John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the one who on the shore, when he's about to baptize Jesus, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." A few years later, John is in bad circumstances. He's in prison. And things don't seem to be going well. And so John sends his servants to Jesus and says, are you the Messiah, or should we be looking for somebody else? Because, you know, all the things that we're expecting, they're not happening. I mean, look at me. Jesus answers John in a very gracious and careful way. He performs certain miracles that John knew the Messiah would be the only one who would be able to do, right? Tell John, the blind receive their sight, the poor have the gospel preached to them, right? These are all things that were prophesied about the Messiah. But then he adds this line, and blessed is everyone who is not offended at me. I mean, even good and godly people like John the Baptist stumble at some of the teaching of the Bible. Why isn't faithful Bible teaching more common today? Well, it hurts and it offends. Number three is probably going back a little bit to it defend, it hurts, but it pierces, it cuts to the core of our being. If the Bible is the Word of God, it is going to cut right down to the core. Read this article this week. It was kind of interesting. This young man, he said he's 37 years old. He came to visit his parents. I think he lives abroad. Came back home to visit his parents. And he said, you know, the conversation with his parents was very surface. How was your trip? You know, how did you sleep? Did you get food? You know, how have you been feeling? Very surface type of issues that are being dealt with. And he says, you know, I was thinking about it. And I think my whole life with my parents, we've never gone any deeper than just very surface items like that. Like, you know, how's the day been? But they never asked me, how are you doing? He's really trying not to find fault with them in saying that. He's trying to give it explanation for why that might be the case. When I read the article, I kept thinking, well, why do you ask your parents how they're doing? like, you know, the onus shouldn't just be on them, but maybe you should bear some of the blame too. What I'm saying is very often this can be the case with us, isn't it? That, you know, you can live with your spouse for years and you're talking about the kids and you're talking about responsibilities that you have and how we're going to pay this bill and what about the mortgage? And what about these things with the car? And, you know, the washing machine is broken now. And how are we going to handle all of these kind of surface things? And it never gets down to what's going on in your heart. And then all of a sudden something happens. And all of that can be exposed. Well, the Word of God pierces right to the core of our being, and it's not very comfortable for us. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Have you ever tried to divide your soul from your spirit? Dividing of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. Certain things that you have thoughts about, and there's these motivations that are motivating you. You might think one way, but you might think this is the good and this is the right way, but I really want this. And God's word can cut right down through that. Remember last week, this really resonated with me last week, and that was this issue of, why do I have this reticence to preach to us about suffering? Well, because the great idol of our age is comfort. And we all bow down to comfort, and it's uncomfortable to talk about suffering. It's uncomfortable to talk about eternal punishment. Jesus says, right, the reason faithful Bible teaching isn't common today is because it offends. And it pierces. Number four under this question, it demands change. It challenges us to strip away moral filth. Say, wow, moral filth? And humbly accept the word. It challenges us to strip away moral filth, okay? Again, you say, wow, this is really extreme language, but this is what the Bible says, okay? This is what James says, 1:21. Therefore, put away all filthiness. All right? That's what I'm saying when I say moral filth. Put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. It demands, another reason why faithful Bible preaching and teaching isn't more common today is because it demands change. Strip away the moral filth and with meekness receive the implanted word. There is also this fundamental barrier to understanding. Jesus asks people who are coming to him, some they say they believe in him. And Jesus says, well, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. He goes on to teach them, and they come up, they start questioning him about certain things, and Jesus says, why do you not understand what I'm saying to you? Why do you not understand what I say? And then he answers it for them. Because you cannot bear to hear my word. You cannot bear to hear my word. It is hard to accept the Bible when our comfort and our lifestyle and our selfishness depends on us not understanding it. Right? This is again where it's challenging our idol of comfort. And, you know, we're just used to doing things a certain way. So what does it mean then to come and listen to a sermon and to listen humbly? It means things like this. It means that I need to admit that the Bible is right and I am wrong. Admit that the Bible is right and I am wrong. It means to admit that God is God and I need to change. Remember Elijah taking up the prophets of Baal onto the mountain, and he said, let the one who answers by fire, let him be God. And by the end, they're saying, the Lord, he is God. Yahweh, he is God. Admit that God is God. And I need to change. Or here's how this author encourages us to pray. On our own, we will never bow humbly before the voice of God. By nature, we always rebel. We need to pray for the gracious work of the Spirit of God to humble our proud hearts. Isn't that humbling? That I can't even convince myself to listen to God's word. I need God to actually, by His Spirit, work in my heart to convince me to be willing to listen to what He says. You and I are that desperate. And very often we don't know it. We think, well, you know, if the sermon's good and if it comes to a point, you know, maybe it'll help me today. And we don't realize that we desperately need God's help if anything's going to be heard or accepted or anything in my life is going to change. And so what can you take away from this, right? I gave you a couple of simple things, but just know anytime you come to hear the Word of God, take seriously the times of prayer. When we open in prayer for a service, or before you come to a service, pray, Lord, I don't even know the hardness of my heart, but You do. I don't even know what I need to hear today, but You do. Lord, make me willing to listen today. Father, thank You for Your kindness to all of us, that You prepared the soil of our heart and You planted the seed of the gospel and You allowed it to grow. And Father, we pray that it would bear fruit, that we would be enabled to take heed how we listen and to acknowledge that we need Your Spirit to open the eyes of our understanding. Give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Just like You said, let light shine out of darkness. So we pray You would shine into our hearts the truth today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.